still I will rest.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And hello, Brevard County. We want to welcome you to another wonderful Monday here in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. We are blessed to be here, and you are strategically placed by God. He chose this time and this place for you so that you could be a testimony of His grace and glory. And we are thankful to be here with you in Brevard County and bringing glory to Jesus Christ. So thank you for doing your part in building the kingdom of God wherever He has placed you, as far as where you live, where you work, and the network of family and friends that you have in this community. So today we want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538. For seven and a half years, they have been partnering with Merritt Assembly of God to bring the Refresh Radio program to you right here on WMIE 91.5 FM and WWBC 1510 AM. Wyrick Air, they're kind of new in the area. They've only been here for over four decades. They've been providing professional sales, services, and repairs in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields for over 40 years. Now, what I want you to understand is that doesn't mean that they are stuck in the past. I'm just telling you, you don't have a business that endures for over 40 years without doing some things right. So Wyrick Air came in to the church, and we were having some light fixtures that we were needing to have tended to. And they said, "Have you considered doing this?" And I said, "I didn't even know that was an option." That's what I like about the people here on that we talk to you about, is they know their industry as well, if not better, than almost everyone else. And so they made a suggestion. There were some internal lights. There was an external light. The external light that they put up is absolutely amazing. I love that thing. It enhances our safety at night for the people going to their cars. And if you wanted to play basketball, you'd only be able to play going one direction because it is brighter than the moon out there, that light. The Wyrick Air does wonderful, wonderful work. They provide professional sales, services, and repairs for air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields. They work in residential settings as well as commercial settings. If you need emergency service, they can provide that when necessary. They strive to provide you with the best service possible and at an affordable price. So when you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. So I trust that you had a great weekend and that you got to gather together with other believers and you worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that you are fully equipped to go throughout this week and represent Jesus well. So we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 40 this morning. We're going to begin reading in verse number 13. We touched on this verse on Friday. We're going to read 13 and 14. We're going to focus on verse 14 today. And it says, "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding?" So verse 14 begins by revisiting some of the other rhetorical questions. With whom did he take counsel and who instructed him? That's almost a repeat of verse number 13. But the latter part of verse number 14 has a different emphasis, and it says, and taught him in the path of justice. So the question is, who has a higher standard of justice? Who has a higher standard of justice? You might think, well, that's a stupid question. No one is more just than God. But yet we live in a society that claims to have a higher understanding and a higher application of justice than God does. Not only that, but if we are not careful, when the frustrations of life kick in because we live in a fallen world, we can begin to say, well, if I were God, I would not have let this happen. If I were God, I would have done this. That both of those questions or both of those statements imply that you are better equipped to administer justice than God is. So let me show you one of the applications. Whenever there is a horrific tragedy, and by that I mean this was not just a natural disaster, this was a horrific tragedy that it was done intentionally by a human being. And, I could name some specific examples, but let's just leave it there in the general reference category. Whenever there is a human being that does something absolutely monstrous and horrific to another human being, the question is posed this way. Why did God allow this? Why didn't God stop it? This is unjust. If I were God, I would have stepped in. I would have killed that person before they killed somebody else. Okay? And the implication, the faulty background that is the basis or the foundation for the statement is that somebody needs to teach God how to administer justice. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, we live in a world that is filled with sin. We live in a world where people have been equipped with a free will, a choice to make, to be able to do good or to do evil. We live in a world where the devil loves to manipulate other people into harming anyone that looks like or represents God. He loves to bring harm into their life. But let's go back to that other one where we live in a fallen world and bad things happen, and the statement says, well, I would have intervened. I would have violated the free will or the free choice of men that God has entrusted to them. I would have violated that so that this tragedy would have been stopped. And I want to remind you that the greatest injustice of all was when a perfect human being came and lived a sinless life and mankind arrested him, beat him to the brink of death, hung him on a cross until he died. That was the world's greatest injustice. And Jesus said, there are legions of angels at my disposal right now. God can stop this. But if that had been stopped, we would have still been dead in our trespasses and sin. The truth of the matter is that God wants every one of us to put our faith and trust in Him. I'm not going to be able to explain away every horrific thing that happens. There are wicked, evil people who've done wicked, evil things, and they deserve to be punished. They deserve, you know. But I also want to remind you that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of our sin is death. And immediately when those truths are laid out there, people begin to go into the comparison mode. And they say, well, my sin was not as horrific as this sin. And there may not have been as much collateral damage, but it was still just as offensive to God as anything that's ever taken place. It was still an injustice towards God. And so today, when it says, who taught God in the path of justice? The answer is no one. Because God is absolute, perfectly just. Who taught God the, it goes on and it says, who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? And the question is, who taught God knowledge, or who gave him the ability to perceive? And that knowledge and that perception is especially in the area of what is moral. Okay? Society is doing everything in its power, using all of its financial and political might to try and change the definition of what is moral and what is immoral. Okay? And God told us, he said, the day is going to come when that which is good, as determined by God, is going to be described as evil, and that which is evil, as defined by God, is going to be described as good. And folks, I want you to know, when we do that, when we try to teach God knowledge or change his mind to come in line with us, we actually do a grave injustice to humanity. There are people who are being applauded and celebrated throughout society right now who are being denied the truth that they are sinners in need of a Savior. Society is saying, you're a role model. You're upstanding. You're an inspiration. And God's word says you're a sinner in need of a Savior and you need to repent. And I'm not just saying that about anyone that I don't know. I'm saying that about me. I was a sinner that needed a Savior. I did not have many of the characteristics. I've never killed anybody. I've stolen very little in my life because of the consequences of doing that when I was much younger, that my mother marched me into the grocery store and made me tell the manager of what I had done. Don't ever want to do that again. Ended up working at that grocery store later on and catching a few people stealing things along the way. So I haven't done many of the things, but if you were to think that I've lived a sinless and spotless life, you would be incorrect. And he who violates one area of the law is guilty of violating the entirety of the law. So if I was in the Old Testament, I was just as much as of need as that sacrificial lamb as anybody else. And in 2021, I depend just as much on the shed blood of Jesus Christ now as I did a few decades ago when I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins for the very first time. So the question is, who is going to change God's perception, or who is going to enhance his knowledge, or who is going to help God to become more moral? That's an exercise in futility, because God doesn't need any enhancement there. No one is more of an expert than God is. No one is more of an expert than God is. In verse number 15, now, if you go back to last week, you will remember we were talking about the massiveness of God and how he is able to do things without any effort at all that man cannot do with all of his technology. Verse number 15 says this: "Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beast sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless." So God is using Isaiah here to set up the context for what we're going to talk about, I believe, on tomorrow's program. I don't think we're going to get to it today, that... Tomorrow it says, "To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare to him?" Tomorrow's program is going to be really good. I want to encourage you to tune in 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, so that you can hear that, because it has some very real life applications. It may not be applications that everybody likes, but they're still very accurate truths that we need to consider. So to set up the context of to what likeness will you compare him to, you need to see how tiny this planet called Earth is, how small the biggest nations on the Earth, or the most powerful armies in the Earth are. You need to see how God sees them. He says, "Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket." Verse number 17, "All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing." So a nation is a people group. And here it says, not just a nation, the nations. In verse 17, it says all nations. In other words, if you put all the armies together in the world, if you put all of the nations together in the world, and you gathered them all together against God, it would still not be a fair fight. Look into the Word of God. Look into the book of Ezekiel. Look into the book of Revelation. And watch how little effort it involves on God's part to come and deal with humanity's injustice on a global and epic scale. All it requires is a word that comes from his mouth. His words go forth as a double-edged sword, and where his word goes, it accomplishes what it was sent to accomplish. So he describes them in their tininess, how itsy-bitsy they are on the scale of eternity. Okay? Now, when you think of that, you know, I don't know if you've ever felt small or felt insignificant or felt overlooked or unneeded or unappreciated, but I want you to see when it describes how tiny things are compared to God, I want to remind you that in all of that tininess, there was an individual named you that God loved so much that he sent his son, who shed his blood so that your sins would be forgiven, so that you could be reconciled to God, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you could have fellowship with him forever. So on the scale of things, they're very tiny. But in the importance of eternity, you are very, very important. It says that the nations are as a drop in a bucket. Just one single solitary drop. It says they are counted as the small dust on the scales. Now, I've told you before, in fact, I've still got it on my wedding ring, my wife's wedding ring and anniversary ring collection has been enhanced through the years. So there was an engagement ring, a wedding ring, a 10th anniversary ring, and a 25th anniversary ring that are all grouped together so they all fit on one finger. Mine is part of the original three-ring set, her engagement ring, her wedding band, and my wedding ring. They all cost a combined $200. They were purchased from Montgomery Ward. Montgomery Ward gave us this incredible promise and guarantee. You can always bring these rings back and you can upgrade them. You can exchange them and we will give you the full value of your rings that you're purchasing today. And we will credit that towards the purchase of your new rings. And that was all great, except for Montgomery Ward went out of business. And our rings, our original wedding set, all have diamonds in there. Mine, it looks like, has three diamonds in it. But the diamonds that are in there, the clasps that hold them in place, are bigger. I describe it to people, you know, when they're shaping a diamond and they chip off that little facet and create, they take a rough diamond and they make it more beautiful. I said the diamonds that my wife and I have in our original wedding ring are those little bitty flakes that they chipped off to make something else more beautiful. And so God says that the nations are just like that. They're small, but God doesn't waste anything. God doesn't waste anything. It says, look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. So if you've ever lived on an island, I know that there was a congressman that was very concerned that an island was going to flip over due to rising ocean waters and all that sort of stuff. But in actuality, God doesn't cause islands to float to the surface. He causes the floor of the ocean to rise up above the waters and creates an island beauty where there was nothing before. And you know where people like to go on vacation? Those islands. You know why? Because they're beautiful. They're relaxing. And your cell phone doesn't generally interrupt you while you're on vacation there. People love to go to those places. And God said, it was no effort at all for me to create that beauty. It says that if you took all of the forests of Lebanon, if you took all of the beasts, none of that would be sufficient sacrifice to describe the worth and the magnitude of God. And so once again, verse number 17, all the nations before him are as nothing. They are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. It says they're empty. He considers them to be a waste, that they're an example of futility and worthlessness. All the efforts of human government are worthless and futile. And God, in an instant, can remove them. I can't tell you how many different societies throughout the history of mankind have been deemed so powerful that they were undefeatable, that there was nothing that was going to be able to wipe them away. Daniel dealt with the king that stood in after Nebuchadnezzar, and the king couldn't understand the writing on the wall that said, "You've been weighed in the balance and found wanting, and behold, your kingdom has been given over to the Medes and the Persians." He couldn't understand the writing. Daniel came in and explained it to him, and the king had said, "Whoever is able to interpret this, I am going to lavish with all sorts of gifts and everything else." And Daniel said, "You've been weighed in the balance, and you've been found wanting." And the greatest army or the greatest kingdom on the earth at that particular point in time was defeated in very quick manner. They thought that there was no way that they were ever going. There were many communities that thought there was no way that they were ever going to be deemed non-essential. How many times did we hear that last year and this year? Your job is a non-essential job. I want you to know that apart from God, we can do nothing. Apart from God, we are never going to be able to establish morality. Apart from God, you're never going to be able to be saved. You and I, we need God the Holy Spirit working in our lives, in our loved ones' lives, to bring us to that place of salvation. And don't ever think that you have reached such a place in life that there's nothing that God can correct in your life. I've had a lot of conversations through the years, and I like to ask people, "Are you behaving yourself?" And they say, "You know, I'm in my 90s. There's nothing else that I can do." I want you to know there are some 90-year-olds who have behaved very, very badly, just as well as 80, 70, and any other decade that you want to put in there. The good news is that if you've still got breath in your lungs, God still has the ability to find you in the midst of all of that futility and worthlessness, and ascribe to you great worth and great value. You've heard of finding the needle in the haystack. Well, I want you to know that God wants to find you as the priceless gift in a sea of worthlessness. It's not that he wants everybody to remain worthless. He wants them to recognize that he and he alone can transform them and make them into a precious gift. God bless you. You have a wonderful day. Great program tomorrow. We'll see you then right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
So I can give you to others.